Okay. Kind of, it's all about freedom this weekend, or the 4th of July, and, you know, we've got a lot of birthdays going on. Tom's birthday, we won't say how old he is, but...
Make him say.
Ben Wood, it's 175 that we just celebrated, and... you know, next year, the United States is 250 years old. So, that's quite a step. Huh?
I won't be that old.
You won't be. You're not quite 250 or 175. The Declaration of Independence. You know, we heard about the flag. The Declaration of Independence was put together by Thomas Jefferson and signed unanimously by all 56 delegates. Who basically risked their lives by signing that, because that would have been treason, and they could have been executed for that. But I want to read just a little bit of the Declaration of Independence today. Starts out, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. So there's the declaration. We're going to be independent, and we're going to tell you why if you read through the rest of it. You know, in the next section he says, we hold these truths to be, this part everybody knows about the declaration, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So, and then it follows that with statement, I'm not going to read the whole thing about how the government can be abolished and a new one put in and put in place, and then a lengthy list of issues with the king. So you can read those if you like. But I kind of wanted to see how we were doing with part of that. You know, it says we're endowed by the Creator with certain inalienable rights, the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, all I have to say is right to life. And that brings up connotations right there. You know, it says we are unalienable. Among them are the right to life. And now, how's our country? You know, it's been a question for quite some time now, and it's still an ongoing battle. But abortion still happens every day. Every day, and the government pays for a lot of it. 1,700 babies in America lose the right to life each day. 1,700, just in America. Our Declaration says we have that right. But do we? We've failed in that declaration. No liberty. As you read the definitions, it usually means the state of being free within a society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. Doesn't mean you can do anything you want to do. That just means you can't be oppressive restrictions. There are rules and regulations we have to go by, but we're moving into one of the other definitions of liberty. And the other definition is the power or scope to act as one pleases. We're moving into the I can do what I want, whenever I want, how I want, and it's changing in that direction. And then the pursuit of happiness. You know, the key word's pursuit. You know, it's not guaranteed. You know, it takes effort on your part to find happiness. It just doesn't come. It isn't owed to you. It isn't a right you have. You only have a right to pursue it. And everyone has that. You know, some never find it. Some never find it. And then some only think they do. They think they found it. But regardless of the freedom you're talking about, you know, there are those who sacrifice so future generations can have those freedoms. You know, men signed a Declaration of Independence and faced the consequences. You know, soldiers battled and sacrificed for a better future and to keep this country free. And it's still going on. They're still fighting. Fight against other men to stay free in the present. There's plenty of enemies out there. But I want to get to where Jesus sacrificed too for our freedom as well. You know, he died for our right upon belief to have the joy of the Lord. You know, men search for happiness. Believers can have joy. You know, happiness is temporary. Joy is a state of being. But we have that right upon belief to find the joy in the Lord, to have that, and to be called the child of God. It's who we belong to. You know, spiritual battles are ongoing. You know, even in the world, there's spiritual battles that may be between peoples, but there's spiritual battles. But God's spiritual battle, it's already been won. You know, victory's already there. It's already assured. Because God's still on the throne. God's in charge of all. You know, and he made the sacrifice to be made free for eternity. Not just for now. And you can have a freedom now is offered for those who are obedient children of God. You know, you can have a freedom now, but true freedom is only from Jesus. We can say we're free. We can have a freedom, and in the ways we do, but true freedom only comes from Christ. I'm going to read John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36 this morning. He's talking, he says, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. There's the obedience part. If you hold to my teaching, you're my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? And Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, there is freedom as we think about it that takes courage and bravery to kind of take things into our, what we think is our own hands to secure freedom and to choose and to not be oppressed. You know, that get called into that at times, people can, but it can be gained, it can be lost. Then there's true freedom. True freedom is a freedom found in Christ, as I said. You know, freedom we had no control over securing. You know, Christ did that for us. It's provided to us not by our sacrifice, but by the sacrifice of Jesus. He gave us that freedom. We only have to accept it. It's there for the taking. It's free to us. It cost him a lot, but it's free to us, that freedom. But he's given us the gift of being free from the guilt of sin. He's given us the gift of being free from the penalty of sin. We don't have to face those things because of what he did. No one else could do it. Only Jesus. He's the only one that could have done it. You know, it's been a long time. He says he's coming back. I know people wonder when, and it could be tomorrow, could be today. Might not be for a while. I don't know. Some say countries have an expiration date. Civilizations have an expiration date. You know, our country, again, will be 250 years old next year. And that's old in some of them. Some say they can only go on for so long. And some people put some things together. You know, one guy puts it in four categories. There's the bondage state, where you're in slavery, you're in bondage, which moves to you know, you're subject to someone or somebody, and it moves to the freedom stage. You gain your freedom, and then freedom lasts so long, and then you're in a self-interest stage. You know, it's all about me, all about what I want, and that ends up in a chaos stage that is kind of all out there. And I don't know, some would probably say we're in the self-interest stage. Some people would probably say we're already into the chaos stage of our country. I think we might be somewhere in between. Another guy breaks it down into a few different ones. Starts out in bondage again, but in bondage, spiritual faith comes into play. Spiritual faith comes. Isn't it the worst places that draws us to God? Spiritual faith comes out of that slavery bondage. We want something more. We want something out of that. We want something God can offer. And faith comes into play. Spiritualness comes into play. And then when we trust in God, great courage comes into play. That we can do things. We can get out of that with God's help. Freedom comes. We get liberty. And that's followed by an abundance. We have a good life. A good, abundant life. And after so long, it evolves into selfishness. You know, we want it for ourselves. After that, we become satisfied. Complacency sets in. Satisfied with this. This is good enough. Not looking to grow anymore. Not looking to rise up anymore. This is good enough. I'm taken care of. I've got what I want. And then followed by apathy, which is indifference. Don't care about things around them. And that takes them back into dependency. And when they depend on things, they're back into bondage again. It's a return. It's a circle. And you can see it in the history of Israel. How many ups and downs, you know. They're in bondage, you know. They get to call out to God. They cry out to God. God answers. They get freedom. They have an abundance. And then pretty soon, they get indifferent. They get satisfied. They end up back in bondage again. You know, whether it's coming out of Egypt, whether it's going to the promised land, you know, taken out of the promised land with Persia and things, it happens over and over again. It happens in, you know, Christian life. And we let that happen to us. We try to fight our way out of things, and we just end up back in the same place. You know, believers today do that too. We get down. We cry out to God. He answers. We kind of get on the mountain. And we get used to things. Then we get complacent. We get apathetic. Now again, our country is still one of the greatest ones on earth. But where are we headed? This is, remember, bondage and pain comes before the faith. Bondage, pain, sometimes draws us to God. It's what God uses to get our attention. It's what calls out our need for God. In Luke 18:4, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." You know, freedom comes, but it doesn't come without responsibilities. You know, soldiers fight for freedoms for the next generation. It used to be an old song we used to sing back when I was a little, "Onward Christian Soldiers." I don't know if you've sang that song before or not, but Christian soldiers have to battle for the souls of the next generation. You know, we all have a job to do. God's put us here for a purpose. It's to pass on the freedom that we know, to help other people be set free. 1 Corinthians 9:19. 1 Corinthians 9:19 says, "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible." Again, it's freedom with a purpose. You know, Jesus set us free so we could spread the gospel to set others free. Again, we're soldiers in this spiritual battle going on. We've got a purpose. We've got a job to do. He's our commander, but we need to be obedient and follow orders and do what he's asked us to do. And we'll do that until his return. And then ultimately the final battle will happen and Satan's freedom will be taken away. He won't have the freedom that he has now. And victory will be completed at that time. Galatians 5:13. says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." You know, we win people with love. You know, hopefully we win them with the truth in love. But it's not about us, you know, fulfilling all of our wants and all of our desires. It's about others and then knowing Christ. You know, independence is misleading. Say, "Well, I'm independent. I want my independence so I do what I want to do." You know, that might get you into trouble. You know, we'd be better off having a declaration of dependence on God. We declare our dependence on Him for everything. Going to have an entry. Got a couple more verses, but going to have the invitation, and then we've got communion today. But Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." You know, we've been in Hebrews on Bible study, and there's other places, of course, in the Bible that's been talking a lot about believers not going back to what they used to be, what they used to do, you know, not returning to old habits, not returning to old ways of life. You know, Paul or whoever wrote Hebrews, we're not exactly sure, is telling them, you know, things are different now. You don't, you know, the law was good, but it's changed now. There's a new covenant that we're going to commemorate in a little bit. You can't go back to that anymore. It's changed. You know, it's done away with. Sometimes we turn to old attitudes. Sometimes we return to old thoughts. But as a believer, you've gained freedom from those things. But it's up to you. You know, prisoners usually aren't too excited about going back to prison once they're released. You know, you shouldn't want to go back to some of the things you were, some of the attitudes you had. Why would a believer go back, you know, when you've got the joy of this new freedom in your life? You know, although saved, if you've accepted Christ, the Holy Spirit's there, you've been saved, you can go right back to the former way of life that creates misery for yourself and others. You've got choices to make. The Holy Spirit's guiding you one way, but you still have the free will to choose what you want to do. And we have freedom for so much more than that. So much more. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Final verse says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom." You know, if you're born again, you got a new spirit within you. I know this is not news. You have the Holy Spirit, but you've been reborn into a new creation. You know, he says the old's passed away. The Spirit creates and builds a new you, you know, builds you up. You know, baptism, we do that as an outward sign to show people that we chose to be associated with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. And as a testimony to people that we're disciples of God, that was our choice. We want to follow God. We've decided to follow God. And show people what he's done in our life. You know, the freedom he's given you to overcome so much. But we have to live in recognition of that sacrifice that he gave us, that freedom. We have to understand that. Again, only in Christ do we have true freedom. You know, our freedom now can be taken away. You know, drive 100 miles an hour through Brazil and see if your freedom gets taken away. Got a feeling something will happen. You'll be stuffed and cuffed, as they say. Your freedom won't last very long. But freedom in Christ is constant. You can be free politically. You can be freedom from socially. But Jesus' freedom's from sin. It's from sin and death. The worst possible things that can happen to you. You know, people don't even realize the powers and influences they're under. You know, they think they're free when they're not. They don't even see it. They don't see it within themselves. But, you know, some say, "Well, I'm from America. You know, I'm not a slave to anyone. I'm... You know, I've got freedom. I can do things as I want. You know, I'm not a slave, I have control. And right there is where you got to be careful. Saying, I have control. You know, I'm freedom. I know it is. I'm free to do what I want. And I, you know, are you really? Are you really free? You know, true freedom comes about and gives you freedom from things. True freedom gives you freedom from fear. Gives you freedom from worry. True freedom in Christ will do that from bad habits that you had. We also have the freedom in Christ not to do things. We have the freedom not to do drugs. We have the freedom not to alcohol, be tied to alcohol. We have the freedom not to gambling. We have the freedom to keep from lust. We have the freedom not to practice sin. We're all going to sin, but we should not have practiced it. It shouldn't be habitual. We have the freedom not to do those things. And then we have the freedom with the Spirit to overcome so much. We can overcome our temper. We can overcome our tongue. And we can overcome sorrow and hurt and pain that's in our life. You know, a lot of those things, sorrow and pain, is going to stay. There's hurt in our life that is not going to completely go away, but we have the ability that it doesn't hold us back from being God, what God wants us to be. We have the freedom that it doesn't control us. We have the freedom that it does not influence us so much that we can't move on to bigger and better things. You know, it might always be there, but the freedom that it won't control us. We've got freedom from that. And we have freedom to love one another. We have freedom to share with one another. Freedom to acknowledge Jesus and how he set us free. You know, are you truly free? Are you truly free? If so, are you living like it? Be truly free in Christ. He wants you free. He doesn't want you to have all the burdens that you have. There'll be tough times, but you have freedom because he's always there to help you out of all those times. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We just ask that you help us to understand freedom, Lord, and what it truly is and what true freedom in Christ is, Lord. And we pray during this time of communion, Lord, that the covenant that brought that freedom, that new covenant, the old one didn't bring freedom, Father. It just showed where our failings were. It shows what we couldn't do. The new one shows what you did and the freedom you bring, freedom from sin and the penalty, freedom from death and the consequences of sin, Lord. We're just so thankful that you provided that, Lord, a true freedom. We're thankful for this country, Lord, that you gave us, and it's still a strong one, but Lord, it's got its own issues, and we ask you to be with our leadership. We ask you to give them wisdom, guidance, as we move along, Father. We don't know what time it is when you're coming back, but we know it's soon, and Lord, in the meantime, we ask you, prepare us for that if, you know, in bad things, you're calling people home to you. And we just ask you to draw people to you. But we ask you to give true freedom for those who don't know who you are. Show yourself to them. Reveal yourself to them. And let us reveal them to them, you in our life, Lord, to know what true freedom is. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for Jesus and what he's done. We just give you the glory and honor and praise. As we come to the communion time, we ask you to just consider what he did and the freedom we have in you. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.